Sure. Good. Welcome back, everybody. It's nice to see you again.
You're retiring?
For those following at home, sorry, maybe I should move this here. For those following at home, we are a smaller committee. Representative Zerwas's position on the committee is no longer here, and Representative Beckerfin, who was kind of a late addition to the committee last year, was also moved off. So we do have a quorum now. The new quorum number is 9.
My wife is
for here. Those keeping track at home. Just so you know, we also have maybe once Representative Quam gets here, I will. He is now the lead member of the minority party, so I'd like to give him his recognition for that. But I'll wait till he's here. We do have a new researcher on the DFL side. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Eamon Gallagher.
Yep, you might want to speak into the microphone.
Eamon Gallagher, House DFL Research.
Thank you. We have a couple committee pages here today. Adrian Ali Kakamo, Alex Baker Bender, Kyle Roach. If you'd like to raise your hands, there they are. They, as I understand it, our permanent page assignment won't be known for a couple weeks, but we're very glad to have all of you here today. Is there any other new person I'm neglecting to mention here or anything? Okay, well, since this is our first committee hearing, I will just move approval. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. We have a new committee legislative assistant.
Lindy Selmick.
Thank you for drawing. It feels so natural having you sit next to me here. She's been my LA for the last month or so. So thank you. I'm very excited to have Lindy here working with us as well. So thank you for catching me there. I will move approval of the minutes of the May 6, 2019 meeting. Is there any discussion of our minutes? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion prevails. The first item on our agenda is House File, I believe this is 3143, Representative Howard. So this was posted. I'm not crazy about using the XXXX designation, but it is a clone. We let it be known this is a clone to House File 3100, the insulin of Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act. Just so people are aware, I've generally given some latitude on this in the past, but to the extent members are able to keep the focus on lines 1.18 to 2.6, the dealing with contracting with a third-party administrator, that is the provision that is most definitely within the jurisdiction of the Government Operations Committee. So just want to make sure members are aware of that. And with that, I will move that House File 3143.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think the one we have in our file, if it's the one I'm looking at, the Howard Hortman Liebling, it looks to be it's listed as House File 3100. Is the bill we have in front of us?
Yes, that was. I'm sorry. Yeah, I should mention that too. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. As I understand, that's the version that was introduced for early bill introductions. As I mentioned, it was posted that we are hearing a clone of it. It is in fact House File 3143 that we will be moving. But the text of House File 3100, which is in your packet, and House File 3143 is identical. Do I have that correct, Representative Howard?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Judge.
Yep,
just make sure we're doing on the right bill.
Yep, thank you for your clarification. So the bill we will be following that's in your packet is House File 3100. With that, I will move that House File 3143 be referred to the General Register with a recommendation that it be referred to Health and Human Services Finance. Is that the correct?
Sure.
I believe that's the motion that we've had. So I will move the bill. Representative Howard, would you like to present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you mentioned, this is the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act. As you all know, we in the House moved an emergency insulin bill last session, and it did not become law. Since that time, I just want to make sure folks are aware that two Minnesotans have lost their lives that we know about rationing their insulin. This is a crisis that isn't going away. In fact, there's evidence it's been getting worse. where Minnesotans simply cannot afford the insulin they need to survive. That's what brings us here today, and because of the urgency of this issue, we are moving with a process to move this bill as soon as possible. Specific to this committee, Chair Freiberg mentioned that we're talking about a contract with a third-party administrator, and I just want to confine my remarks to their place and focus in this bill. Our overall goal with this bill is to make sure that if a Minnesotan is in need of an emergency supply of insulin, they can get it that day at their pharmacy so that we can prevent a crisis before it happens. To do that, the state, the Department of Administration, will contract with a third-party administrator to process these claims. And what this allows us to do is provide insulin to a Minnesotan at the pharmacy and make sure that pharmacists are reimbursed throughout the normal process that pharmacists are reimbursed at the pharmacy level. So it allows us to utilize the existing infrastructure in place. And it also allows us to utilize a third-party administrator to make sure that for an emergency supply, someone doesn't get their emergency supply at CVS and go across the street to Walmart. On the emergency side, this is intended for a one-time use in a year. I did want to call attention to lines 1.19 and 1.20 that we are utilizing a process to have the Department of Administration move forward as soon as possible to reach a contract with the TPA. And this is born out of really a bipartisan push to make sure that whatever we do on insulin affordability, we stand up as soon as we can, because as I mentioned before, time is of the essence and lives are literally on the line. So with that, I'll stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Howard. We're a little out of practice here. So I will amend my motion just to make it, I will move to refer the bill to HHS Finance. So just to make it clear where the bill's going, that's the correct motion here. Also welcome to Representative Quam. Congratulations on being the lead Republican on the Government Operations Committee. I know you've served on this committee for many years, so look forward to your expertise being put to use. So thank you for being here. Is there anyone who wishes to testify for or against House File 3143? Okay, seeing none, I will close testimony. Is there a member discussion? Representative Tice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Howard, I'm just curious, why is the Commissioner of Administration overseeing this and not DHS?
Representative Howard.
There was some discussion of that, and this is product of the discussion with the bipartisan working group that's met, and that's led us to have the Department of Administration, who does have some experience managing contracts, to manage this one with the third-party administrator.
Representative Tice?
Just a follow-up. I guess I'm kind of curious, too. I know the working group has been working for quite a while, and yet the two bills are not really the same. So I guess I'm just curious, are we going to – is it going to work out better when both bills get passed and then we see them together at the end in conference committee? Are you hoping for a better, I should say, outcome from that rather than just the working group not reaching a consensus?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Tice, I am hopeful that we can move this bill and pass it into law as soon as possible. I was hopeful that we would be able to resolve this in a special session, and that hasn't happened. What I am hopeful, though, is now that we're in the legislative session, rather than a few legislators that have been working on this, now every single legislator has the opportunity to use their voice and use their vote to move this forward. I think that'll help us provide the momentum we need to move forward and get this across the finish line.
Okay. Representative Tice?
Thank you. I just want to apologize. I have type 2 diabetes, and my blood sugars are low, so I've been eating my bar, so I'm not shaking all over the place.
Thank you. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know everyone here wants everyone to have access to free or no-cost insulin. I mean, it's terrible if somebody's without it. And a lot of these companies have already responded, offering multi-million dollars in free insulin that they give away. and to people who need it. And many insurers have also come out with programs that cap it at very similar levels to what your bill does, because your bill still does require some payment in some cases that are almost identical to what the private industry is already doing. So how is this not redundant to what's already being done? Because there's been a lot of movement recently.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative West. The short answer is if the private market was solving this problem, Minnesotans wouldn't be dying. The reality is insulin has skyrocketed the cost, and while there has been changes and some in the positive direction for these programs, they have been notoriously unresponsive to Minnesotans. And, you know, we'll have a commerce hearing later where folks that have actual experience utilizing these programs will testify. But we have heard of, you know, inconsistent application of who can access these, not uniform, and certainly not an emergency access for these programs. And so while we're grateful that there's been some movement on some of these programs, it is not in itself solving the problem. We need as a state to take action and say that nobody in this state should be without an emergency supply of insulin if they need it.
Okay, and just for the committee's benefit, it is subdivision 2 of section 1 that is within the, I am allowing some latitude, but that is the provision within the jurisdiction of the Government Operations Committee. So Representative West, okay, Representative Quam, and then Representative Vogel. Okay, Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just curious if somebody is here from the Department of Administration, had some questions on the way this is going to work out with them.
Representative Howard is nodding. Well, please come forward if you could identify yourself for the record, and then we will let Representative Vogel proceed with his question.
Thank you. Members, Lenore Madigan, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Administration.
Thank you, Ms. Madigan. Representative Vogel.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. I guess I understand the urgency here and the intent, and don't have a problem with that. I do see the word navigator, and I know we've had some instances in the past where navigator things haven't quite worked out, and maybe in a different department. But it seems as if this is really moving fast relative to the administration of this, especially using a third-party administrator. And I'm curious if you could, or I'd like to hear, when you say not subjects to the requirement of Chapter 16C, what does that do to the process of selecting this administrator, this third-party administrator, so that we don't recommit things that sins of the past when it comes to programs that are intended to work with a good intent but unfortunately don't work or become hard to fix?
Ms. Madigan.
Members, the purpose of the excluding 16C is so that we're able to contract quickly with a third-party administrator so that the program can begin. We'll use all of the tools that we have available in our contracting to get a good value for Minnesota and make sure that the program meets the requirements of the legislation.
Representative
there
Vogel?
Aren't navigators, excuse me, there aren't navigators as part of the emergency insulin program. It is really between the individual and then the pharmacy and the third-party administrator reimbursing the pharmacy.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier. So the concern I have is that, yes, it does tend to expedite it, but expedited, I'm sorry. But if that happens and things don't go as planned, I'm wondering where the guardrails are here, because if we do this too quickly and it doesn't work, we've not only not put in place a program that doesn't work, but we're not really going to benefit maybe the people that really need it. So I'm wondering how, if you're going to have a deviation from normal process, what are you putting in place to ensure that we won't get to some place where we don't want to be?
Representative Howard?
Representative Vogel, I think I might take a first crack at that. And it's a fair point. We definitely want to make sure that on day one that our program begins, that it's ready and it's usable for patients. And so it's a good question. Particularly with the third-party administrator, I believe that, you know, what we're basically, we're allowing ourselves not to go through a lengthy RFP process. But there are still clear standards and things that we're going to be asking of the third-party administrator to do, and it's going to be the intent would never be to begin a program before those issues are fleshed out. And the only other point I'd make is the duties we're asking of this third-party administrator isn't asking, you know, the creation of a drastically new IT system, or we're essentially contracting with an entity that already does this processing of pharmaceutical payments and asking them to apply it to this specific program. So, you know, I think that's a different conversation if we were requesting someone to build, you know, a website or that kind of thing.
Representative Vogel?
Just one more question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Anna, and just to have a little more conversation on how this goes, are you putting in place some type of then follow-up with the legislature? In other words, there have been certain projects that have gotten out of hand where they've just kind of gone on and we throw a little more money at it, but we don't really have an accountability back. What type of accountability are you putting into this thing relative to the legislature so that since it's new and it's not been done yet, that it's completely transparent and people can really figure out what's going on and where we're at relative to where we should be?
Representative Howard.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Vogel, another good question. We include reporting in this bill because we absolutely want to understand how the program is being utilized, which Minnesotans are using it, and if it's solving the problem, if we need to make changes. And so we in the legislation require a level of reporting from, you know, the Department of Administration, MNsure, et cetera, to make sure that we have the information we need as a legislature to consider changes into the future.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Vogel. I have Representative Quam next on the list. Representative Heinrich has also asked to be on the list. Okay, Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howard, will the bill be making a stop in the civil law committee for any data provisions?
Representative Howard.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Heinrich, yes. There's a provision on a data sharing agreement. It's one small provision, but we will be going to civil law.
Representative Heinrich, okay. Ranking Member Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this would be more to the testifier about the 16C. So what I heard is only the abbreviation of the timeline, so you don't have to have X amount of days in bidding and et cetera, the normal process. Are there any other protections that avail themselves other than that delayed timeline in 16C?
Ms. Madigan.
The provisions in 16C will allow for that expedited bidding process. The contracts will have all the standard contracts and protections that the state would have in any other contract that we issue.
Mr. Chair, I'm only interested in, is there any additional protections that would not be availed of themselves? All we heard is that, we can do it quicker, but the 16C and related have any protections and process besides just you don't have to wait X number of days for response to a bid and the letting of the bid and that?
Ms. Madigan.
Excuse me. Member, 16C covers all the purchasing requirements, and so the bill does exclude all of that from the Department of Administration. There's many provisions within 16C.
Ranking Member Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it would behoove us, all members of the committee, to be aware of all the additional things that, by excluding 16C, those protections that we've built up over the decades for our citizens, what of those are missing when we exclude 16C? I realize that this will be moving on, it's a clone, et cetera, but we really need, it's our duty to make sure that those protections that are required or should be required could be added back in the final bill so that the only thing that would be abbreviated is that you don't have to wait 45 days for this and then do all those steps. And so maybe the chair and staff could make sure that the members of the committee could receive a detailed explanation of the rest of the story included in 16C.
Sure. Thank you, Ranking Member Quam. Yeah, I'd be happy to get additional information on 16C to members of the committee. Did you have additional questions?
I was just curious. I know it stretches a little bit beyond here, but how the accounting and the other things, because we're bypassing, you know, having been a few terms on HHS and that bureaucracy and et cetera, it'd be nice to know a better understanding of how this department handles similar things. And then it seems as if the author of the bill indicated this is a normal thing, you know, that they don't need all this new software, et cetera. And I'm wondering, do any other states have a similar statute or program existing at this time or that are going through the debate of setting one up?
Representative Howard?
Chair Freiberg, Representative Quam. No state has approved legislation like this, although upon our introduction, there's several states considering it.
Ranking Member Quam?
Thank you, and I think I'll meet with the author sometime in the future to better understand the variations that the other states have done, and you know, see if we can plagiarize anything that's really good, and you know, because so we can make the best program to provide this needed access. Thank you.
Thanks, Representative Quam.
Thank you, Representative Howard.
The other states are the ones plagiarizing us, but I'll be happy to meet, and we can love to connect. Yeah.
Representative Lehman.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope this is an appropriate question for the committee. I can't help but ask whenever I see blanks, dollar signs and blanks. So I'm just trying to understand on page 15 where we get to the appropriation. Because I just know there's been so much discussion about this and wanting to make sure that we're focusing our resources really on the need. As we've said here, so many of the health insurance providers have stepped up and provided low-cost or no-cost insulin. So if I understand it, this is a one-time appropriation of $400,000, one-time appropriation of $250,000, and then we have another $250,000 that's going to be added to the base, and then we have three blanks. I'm just asking the author if you could tell me when those blanks might be filled in and what we think they might be.
Representative Lehman, I was wondering if you were going to bring a box of dots out for us to enjoy here. But
déjà vu.
Yes. Representative Howard.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Lehman. Hopefully very soon, we're having an updated fiscal note, and this bill reflects some of the bipartisan work and discussions with the Senate, and in particular, the role of MNsure. It comes into play largely on the long-term insulin side, which was the concept of the Senate Republicans, in an effort to merge the good ideas from Democrats and Republicans. We have that together, and we're hoping to have an updated fiscal note soon to reflect those costs.
Representative Lehman?
Right. Just one follow-up question. Do you have any estimate? Were you given an estimate at all? Do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Representative Howard.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Lehman. I wouldn't want to make a guess. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lehman. Are there any additional member questions? I don't have anybody on my list. Okay. Seeing none, any closing remarks, Representative Howard?
Thank you, Chair and Committee, for hearing the bill, and look forward to moving this forward quickly and ultimately getting this done for Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 3143 be passed and re-referred to the HHS Finance Committee.
Right?
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Howard. Okay. Members, you may have noticed there are several, six other bills that are on the agenda here. These are bills that were considered and passed out of government operations to the general register in the 2019 session pursuant to House rule. They got re-referred back to the last committee stop, which is government operations. So it is my understanding that it is standard practice and has been under both party leadership for bills meeting that description on the first day of session in the even-numbered session to be re-referred back to the general register. This is my first time as the chair of a committee in the first committee hearing of the even-eared session, so I want to make sure I'm getting everything right. Was that a accurate statement of, okay, thank you. So, and we need, I assume we need to make separate motions on each bill also. Okay, so I will not be taking testimony on these bills. I'm happy to entertain individual questions if there are any on these bills, but this is generally a just kind of a formality, as my understanding it, on the first committee hearing of the even-eared session. So with that, I will move that House File 1397, which is my and Representative Lehman's bill related to daylight savings time, be re-referred to the general register. Is there any discussion to this bill? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that motion carries. I will move that House File 1994, which is my bill related to the elections in Hennepin County, be re-referred to the general register. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. I will recommend, Representative Mason, would you like me just to move your bill, or would you like to do it yourself? Oh, okay. And actually, my understanding is there is an amendment to this one just to update some of the dates since we are a year later, and that should be in your packet. Okay. So, I guess continue with your motion to refer it to the general register, and then we can take up the amendment.
Okay, I would like to move this to the House File 192 to the general register, and
okay,
then I have the amendment.
Yep. Representative moves that House File 192 be recommended to the general register. And then we have the A4 amendment in our packet, and all it does is delete the word 2020 and replace it with 2021. Would you like to move the A4 amendment?
Yes, I would move A4 to the House File 192 so that it is current.
Yep. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Okay. All in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The amendment is adopted. We're back to the original motion to move House File 192 as amended to the general register. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, that bill is on its way. Representative Mason, you have House File 703. Would you like to move that one as well?
Yes. This one has to do with compensation limits, and I would like to move that to the general register.
Okay. Representative Mason has moved House File 703 to the general register. Any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Representative Lee, you have House File 2059. Would you like to move that one?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 2059 to the general register.
Okay, and this one would allow household access to census employees. So Representative Lee has moved House File 2059. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Elkins, you have House File 511. Would you like to move that one?
I would, Madam Chair. I'm so moved.
Okay. Representative Elkins has moved House File 511 to the general register. This is the bill repealing the law prohibiting bans on the use of plastic bags. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Had a feeling there might be a nay or two on that one. So, okay. But the motion does carry. So with that, I have two more. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm looking at two different documents. Yes, House File 94, Representative Vang is not on this committee, so I will move that House File 94 be moved to the general register. This bill relates to the number of voters an individual may assist in marking a ballot. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, I will move House File, I will renew my motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, then finally we have House File 505. This is Representative Fisher's bill related to the state flag design task force. And I understand there's a similar amendment to this. I will move that House File 505 be referred to the General Register. There is an A1 amendment in your packet. Again, it just deletes 2020 and replaces it with 2021. So I will move the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Tice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking. It says that a report to the legislature is due by the 15th, and I'm sure that, you know, that was one of the dates that was changed. But so can we just expect that a year later? I mean, I would be interested in, I'm sure it's a task force, but I would be interested in hearing it before then. I don't know if there's a way to do that.
Yeah, so the amendment would change the date to January 15th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's before us. I mean, that, you know, this is a pretty significant change, I guess I would say, having a task force. I imagine it will take some time to meet and review different options for a state flag. So, I mean, I think it's, and previously when we discussed it, they had close to a year to debate it. So, I mean, to me, it seems like a consistent change just to make, it'll give them some time. I mean, since we'll be adjourning sine die by May 18th, I think the only option would be to move it up that far, and I don't think that would give them enough time to fully vet all the options for a state flag. So to me, this seems consistent with what we approved last year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just bought some coasters with the Minnesota flag on it. They could be historic now.
That's true. You should hang on to them.
Yeah, yeah. I will.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Tice. So the A1 amendment is before us. So all those in favor, please, any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the amendment is adopted. Is there any discussion back to the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 505 as amended be referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now I think our next meeting is this Thursday, February 13th. So look forward to seeing you all there. With that, if there's no member comments, we are adjourned.